The final game of the regular season in San Diego for the Dodgers. And Rick, last night, the Dodgers used 8 pitchers, and a few of them stood out and really separated themselves last night.
You know what was nice is that we saw, I think, a variety of pitchers, and they were all showed that they had accountability. I thought reeling the back end, too, and something I mentioned to Dave Roberts in his office a little bit earlier this morning, I really thought, and I think I mentioned this to you last night right before you went on the air with Dodger Talk in a postgame, that I thought that Kenley Jansen last night probably had the most consistent movement on his cutter than I've seen, and again, on a consistent basis, maybe in a couple of months, because he threw it last night like he owned it.
Yeah, and I've talked to a few of his former teammates, Rick, and they were telling me all Kenley has to do is grip it and rip it, not think too much.
And the other part, too, is to trust it, because I tell you what, it's a whole different dimension when he has the movements on that pitch. And here's the other part, too. If he's trying to go upstairs, and I've talked to people, so look, we're not telling him to go upstairs a lot of the four-seam fastballs, but that's what I have been observing. There's more possibility of error when it's up there if there's no movement. Mm-hmm. You throw the ball upstairs, even upstairs with the cutter, you've got so much movement, you don't have to be as exact. In other words, you don't have to hit the corner nearly as much with the cutter because of the movement than you do if it's just a straight four-seam fastball that's staying on the same plane as soon as it leaves your hand.
And last night, that save was his career 300th save, and that's a pretty big accomplishment.
That's a huge one, and congratulations to Kenley Jansen, because you have to not only be good, you have to have durability and to be able to do it. And I think that's a big, big boost for Kenley now going into the postseason. He's one of only 30 pitchers that have had 300 saves in their career. That's a huge, huge number. The next 300 are going to be more difficult.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Rick, also Dustin May last night, he had 4 consecutive pitches that hit 99 miles an hour. He looked really good, too.
He looked really good, and there were 2 pitches that he threw. I pointed out to you last night in the postgame, too, is that Russell Martin looked like he was actually flinching a little bit. So if you've got your catcher who knows what's coming, and you're gassing it up there at 99 miles an hour with movement, by the way. We talk about Kenley Jansen with the movement on the cutter. What's really remarkable is that Dustin May throws the ball 98 and occasionally 99, and it's not straight as an arrow. It does have movement. That's something you don't really teach. That's just the way that it comes out of his hand. He is really, really interesting to see how he pitches.
Yeah, what type of weapon could he be for the Dodgers in the postseason?
It could be a big, big weapon. And, you know, then you start to think, is it well with the future if he remains healthy? Not only have the ability, seems to have the internal drive, too, to want to get even better. And so which category are you going to use him? Are you going to use him as a starter? Absolutely. He's one of those guys that you put on a level is that this is going to be in a comfortable afternoon if you're a hitter and going to be facing him.
No doubt about it. Dave Roberts has talked about the emotion he shows on the mound, and we certainly saw that last night. As far as position players go, Rick, one loss for the Dodgers last night was Corey Seager, who re-injured his left hamstring.
Yeah, with a hammy, we don't know the extent of it. What we have been told is there was tightness. If it's more than tightness, because sometimes you don't know for another 24 to 36 hours. We're not even 24 hours into it at the present time. It's a concern. There's 2 things going really maybe for a plus. Obviously, he's a young guy to begin with. They happen to heal a little bit more rapidly. And the other part, too, is there's a couple of days now that he can kind of get back into it. You know, he will not have to play until a week from today.
Right, yeah.
That would be next Thursday. So there's a week that he can go ahead and get treatment and get back. I would imagine when he comes back, he might have his leg wrapped just to try and keep everything right there. But he's been playing terrifically, not only swinging the bat well, but you and I talked about this yesterday or the last couple of days. We've seen more range defensively from Corey Seager this year in particular, I think, the last 2 months than we have seen in quite a while.
Yeah, and take into account the shifts where he's the only guy sometimes on the left side of the infield.
Yeah, at times you look down there, he's like the lonely repairman. He's the only guy on the left side of the infield. So Seager gets a chance to set down. He's not in the lineup. Justin Turner has a chance to rest the ankle again because it's not really shock troops that are going to be in there today, but David Freese is going to lead things off with his blinding speed. He's going to be the leadoff hitter. and play at first base. So we'll see a couple of different things. Jerko is going to be at third. Christopher Negron is going to be in right field. And what about Edwin Rios last night with the home run that he hit? That's kind of an interesting development. Is Rios, if he continues now, there's only four games left, including today. And there's a lefty going, Lucchesi, for San Diego. So Rios will not be starting. But interesting, maybe coming off the bench is going to get more consideration because I'll tell you what, when he connects with the ball, he hits it hard.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Rick, when you connect, you hit it hard too.
Yeah, right now, David, we're going to disconnect.
Sounds good. Tim, we'll send it back to you in the studio.